KBLA 1580 Santa Monica.
I'm Tyreek Wynn. Here's the latest on the Black Information Network. A civil rights icon is being honored by way of a new statue at the U.S. Capitol. The statue of late Arkansas native Daisy Gadsden Bates was unveiled Wednesday in the National Statuary Hall. The new statue is one of two that will eventually replace statues previously honor Arkansas lawmakers from the 19th century. The statue of singer-songwriter Johnny Cash will be installed later on this year. The Louisiana Supreme Court is poised to make a huge move ahead of the November election. There has been a fight over the way congressional boundaries are drawn. Civil rights groups are asking the high court to use a map that gives the state a second black majority district. A community reparations commission in Western North Carolina is making its first rounds of recommendations. A 25-member group designated to Asheville and Buckhome County is suggesting that local officials invest in four projects designed to support black communities. That's the latest. I'm Tyreek Wynn on your home for 24/7 News. The Black Information Network.
Hey, it's Dean Sharp. How does 3 months of free electricity and a lifetime of energy savings sound? Well, it's yours when you go solar with Sunlux. Learn more at sunlux.com, sunlux.com.
Follow the leader. KBLA Talk 1580. Follow the leader.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram at KBLA 1580.
Follow the leader.
Are you ready?
The station leading the way with exclusive interviews.
Follow the leader.
Stimulating conversation.
Leader.
And intellectual discourse that empowers, enlightens, and informs.
Follow the leader.
Follow the leader at KBLA 1580.
We've got a lot to talk about.
Keep following the leader.
Follow the leader.
Follow the leader. Follow the leader.
Follow the leader. The views and opinions expressed and resources shared on this program are strictly informational and should not be substituted for medical advice or evaluation.
I told you I don't need to talk to nobody.
My daughter's losing weight. She sleeps all the time and has terrible moods.
My drinking ain't the problem. You nagging me is the problem.
Problems and pressure are at the backdrop of everyday life, impacting our physical, mental, and spiritual health. But where are the solutions? And who is concerned about the family? The Urban Family. Presenting Urban Family Focus, hosted by Reverend Gerald Smith, here on KBLA Talk 1580.
Good morning, KBLA Talk 1580 congregation. This is Reverend Gerald, life coach and addiction counselor, and you're listening to Urban Family Focus. We're that show that talks about the subjects that don't get discussed enough within our households. Things like addiction, mental illness, health and wellness, conflict resolution, financial literacy, and grief. If it affects the urban family, we bring attention to it and provide resources and answers to all your questions about it. Our goal is to make sure when you get up early on a Saturday morning, you catch that worm of wisdom, opportunity, resources, and motivation to live your best life. Speaking of living your best life, as it reflects on our topic for the day, sports and mental health, Simone Biles says this: put mental health first, because if you don't, you're not going to enjoy your sport and you're not going to succeed as much as you want to. She goes on to say, when you focus on yourself and get help, it shows how strong of a competitor that you really are, rather than just battling through it alone. We've got a lot to talk about here on KBLA Talk 1580, but before we go any further, I want to acknowledge this is Mother's Day weekend, and I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there listening, and I want to give a special shout out to my mom, Ida B. Fulcher, who came into this experience on July 27, 1926, and made her transition on February 21st, 2017. I also want to say a special shout out to the mother of my only child, Stephanie Coleman Smith. May is also Mental Health Month, and this morning we're discussing on the intersection of mental health and sports. And with us today to carry us through this conversation is Dr. Willissa Charles Malveaux. Dr. Charles Malveaux is a sports psychiatrist and the CEO of WCM Sports Psych. She is an advocate and educator on the intersection of mental health, sports, and racial social justice. Dr. Malveaux leads her Dr. Malveaux lends her expertise as a psychiatrist consultant to multiple national sports-related agencies, professional sports teams, and organizations. Dr. Charles Malvo is the Western Regional Trustee on the Board of Black Psychiatrists of America. Dr. Willis Charles Malvo, welcome to Urban Family Focus.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
And I'm glad to have you here. You know, this show, we focus on mental health a lot, and we've had a multitude of psychiatrists over the last couple of years, but very few, should I say we have a multitude of psychologists over the last couple of years, but very few psychiatrists. So I'd like for you to tell us a little bit about your background, your education, and what motivated you to become a member of the exclusive 2.8 club of all physicians that are black women.
Oh, thank you. That's a big question. So I am here in California for the second time around. I've spent most of my adult life in California. And initially, when I came from the East Coast, I'm from Maryland, it was for college. I actually attended Stanford University on a track scholarship. I was a 4F sport athlete in college and was recruited around the nation for two of my sports, for soccer and track and field. And I was also training for the Olympics in track and field since high school. So that brought me to California. That brought me to sports in general. I studied psychology at Stanford and got my bachelor's and my master's in psychology from Stanford. Stayed around to after school to train some more for the next games, injuries, and other things got in the way of that, mostly my surgeries that I had from sport. And I already knew that I wanted to be in medicine. Specifically at the time, actually, the plan was orthopedic surgery. But my life experiences and really thinking about what I wanted to get from medicine and how I wanted to help people made me transition back to helping people from a mental health standpoint and thinking about all the things that I learned at Stanford, getting my master's and, again, my bachelor's there. And that's what brought me back to psychiatry. So I went back east to med school at Howard University and found myself back in California eventually for a residency at UCLA. And here I am now, living in my purpose to help people and to help athletes and be the type of doctor that I didn't have when I was an athlete training myself.
Well, we are definitely glad to have you with us this morning to dig into our topic, the intersection of mental health and sports. And that's going to take us a few places this morning. I just want to point out that the reason why we make mental health such a hot topic on our show is statistics like 16% of all Black American people have reported having mental health issues, and 22% of those reported serious mental health issues over the past year. And serious mental health issues have rose among African Americans over the last 10 years or so. So we know that there's a lot of us that are dealing with different things, and we're glad to have you on the show this morning to help us not just talk about the intersection of mental health and sports, but the importance of getting help and when we should be aware that help is needed. But before we get into it, I would like you to, for us people, those of us who are may not be able to tell the real difference, tell us what the difference is between a psychiatrist and psychologist.
Sure. And that's a common point of confusion, is a lot of people think that they're one and the same, or they may think that the only difference is that, well, a psychiatrist is the one that can prescribe, right? But it's actually a much bigger difference. And we're both highly skilled professionals in the field of mental health, and we're both doctorate-level professionals. Psychiatrists are actually physicians, medical doctors. So to be a psychiatrist, one has to go to medical school, and it's just a different field of medicine that you could pick, like any other field of medicine, if you're talking about family medicine or pediatrics or GI. Psychiatry is another field of medicine. So what that enables us to do is to really understand the connection between the brain and the rest of the body, and understand not only how medications, for example, may influence your health and how you function, but also understanding and being able to recognize when what's going on with you might not be an issue with respect to a primary mental illness at all. People who have low thyroid hormone, hypothyroidism, can have signs of depression. They can have issues with weight gain that can lead to body image, and they may think that what they need is something to help with the depression, but what they might actually need is a medication to help with their thyroid hormone, to get their hormones regulated better. People may have anxiety that's a result of other physical illnesses that they're going through, for example, heart disease, that can actually cause anxiety to develop. People who have sleep issues may think that they are not thinking straight and need something to help them be more alert and more clear in the daytime because they have an illness, or maybe they're thinking, oh, I must be depressed. But it might be sleep apnea that needs to be diagnosed and need testing for. You know, so we're able to see that difference. Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I'm glad you pointed those things out, because a lot of times we misdiagnose ourselves, and even strangers, we go to medical professionals and get misdiagnosed as well. And I know you're going to shed some clarity on how important it is that we see the right person and put ourselves in the right cultural environment a lot of times to make sure that we get the correct information. And we're going to continue this conversation with Dr. Charles Melveaux when we come forward here on KBLA Talk 1580.
Healthy lives, healthy home, and a healthy community. More of Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith when we come forward on KBLA Talk 1580. Talk 1580. Hi, it's Tavis Smiley. First, thank you for your support of KBLA Talk 1580. We deeply appreciate you. So, I get asked all the time, Tavis, when are you going to bring back that State of the Black Union symposium you used to do? You know the one where you had all those black intellectuals on stage every year and everybody watched all day live on C-SPAN? Yeah, I know the one.
Let's bring them back.
Well, I am pleased to tell you that if you go to KBLA1580.com right now, you can sign up to be in the audience here in Los Angeles when we go back live on C-SPAN with a stage full of black thinkers and influencers for a historic conversation. America has never seen a stage full of black folk talking about the urgency of now. Climate justice, climate equity, climate resilience. It's going down Tuesday, June 18th, 4 to 7 p.m. at the California Science Center in Exposition Park. Admission is free, but you must register at KBLA1580.com. Once we reach capacity, you'll have to watch us on C-SPAN. But if you want to be in the room when we go live from Los Angeles Tuesday, June 18th, head to KBLA1580.com right now to reserve your seat. Caring about the climate, caring about the community. We're KBLA Talk 1580. We've got your black.
I believe up there. Hey!
Girl, I have a secret. When I get stressed out, I get sweaty. That's why I use Secret Clinical Antiperspirant. It's like my own secret weapon. For 72 hours, I get Secret's strongest protection against sweat caused by stress, heat, and activity, because you know how crazy life can get. Plus, it's made with advanced odor fighters that don't just cover up smelliness. They help prevent it from happening in the first place. Believe me, if I weren't wearing Secret, I'd be a hot, smelly mess. Thankfully, Secret works.
Ooh, I'm so ready for this weekend away with my girls.
Hey, hit the road. How about some free gas?
Free gas? How?
Try new Febreze car for some serious freshness and you can win gas for a full year. Visit Febreze.com to learn more.
Say less.
You may not win, but you're going to have a fresh-smelling whip.
Thanks, DJ Fresh. Now, how about some music?
Hey, yo, this next one goes out to new Febreze car for giving you a chance to win free gas.
La, 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 la. No purchase necessary. Must be 18 to enter. N731-24 for rules and how to enter. Visit Febreze.com.
Environmental justice is racial justice.
Environmental justice is social justice.
This is KBLA Talk 1580.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
This is Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith.
Gerald Smith.
A spiritual and scientific evidence-based self-help program on KBLA Talk 1580.
Welcome back to Urban Family Focus. I'm Reverend Gerald, life coach and addiction counselor. And we're having a conversation this morning with Dr. Charles Melveaux. And our topic is the intersection of mental health and sports. Dr. Charles Melveaux, before we came forward, you were talking about the importance of knowing what's exactly going on. A lot of people think they may have a mental illness issue, and it could be triggered by something else that needs to be diagnosed and treated. So I'd like for you to continue along those lines and then move into your role as a subspecialist in sports psychiatry.
Absolutely. One major way that we see changes in people's behavior and life experience and symptoms is influenced by, I know, a topic that you're really passionate about, but substance use. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to not bring that up today for sure, because in the years that I've been practicing, there's many times where I've actually seen where people are presenting with symptoms of serious mental illness. But when you go back and look at the history and the timeline, it began when they start using substances. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily have to be multiple substances, but there is an effect on the brain, and that does affect your body. And you can develop from that, in some cases, something that does need to be treated, symptoms that do need to be treated in some cases for the remainder of your life. But the good thing about that is that with treatment, you can feel better and you can get better. And it's not something that you are stuck with suffering from if you choose to get the help that you need and if you're able to get the help that you need. And I want to say able because everyone doesn't have the same access to care, and that's important. And a lot of people tend to forget that when it comes to our community in particular and how it's even talked about. So I don't know if we have time to get into that topic, but that's something else that,
we're going to go wherever the conversation takes us. But to your point, being involved in addiction counseling for a few years now, I realize or statistically they say 70% of the people who have an addiction have a mental illness, and vice versa. You can almost swap those two issues. And then there are those of us mm-hmm. who have a mental illness and they self-medicate with their drug of choice, be it alcohol or some other drug of choice. So there is an intersection of those two things that always have to be considered. I often make the statement as it pertains to mental illness, we tend to look at it as something that some people have and some people don't. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that we all have mental health issues just at different levels. And depending on where we are, some of those things we can take care of ourselves through self-care and changing some activities, and other things need medication. So talk a little bit about the fact that it's something that impacts us all. So there's no reason for a lot of the stigma that's associated with a mental illness, because it's part of life.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you said that. We all have mental health, everyone. Mm-hmm. And we go and we take care of our physical health more easily. But there's a lot of fear and misinformation surrounding mental health and mental illness. So one of the things that you brought up was just that some things aren't things that can be taken care of with just self-care. And that's absolutely true. Now, does that mean we shouldn't do self-care? Absolutely not. We should. But therapy, which is very important, and I think it's good for everybody to do it at some point in time and check in with yourself and see if we need to go back, and almost like your car, you get a tune-up. So that's a healthy practice to have for maintaining your mental health and wellness. But there's some things that therapy alone is not going to fix. And we can't be afraid of those things or feel like, I know a lot of people, especially in our community, get this sense like, oh, there must be something really wrong with me if I need to see a doctor, or I don't want to take these medications that could change me or change who I am or control my mind. But we don't have those same type of conversations if we're someone that has diabetes and they need insulin to survive, or if it's someone that has chronic pain and needs medication to help them to live without pain so they can walk.
Right.
So it's interesting how the conversation changes for people and how the feelings change for people when it comes to their mental health. But that is equally important, if not more, to take care of. So that's very important to bring up. When you talked about the intersection or the tie between substance use and mental health, you know, you're right. Sometimes people are self-medicating. And the reason why that happens a lot of times is, again, fear and stigma. And it's not that they're not recognizing something's going on, but the thought that they need to get help for it, it somehow makes it worse to them, as opposed to recognizing this is the healthy choice, to go to your doctor and seek that help. And primary care doctors are on the front line and can help people to get their initial treatment or initial assessments, and then direct them when they need to have that care taken up to a specialist, which would be the psychiatrist. So I really hope that people can get out of that fear, but also recognize it's not their fault, because our community in particular has been through a lot with medicine. And there's a lot of reasons that that fear is there. But we can't let fear stop us from getting the treatment that we need.
Absolutely. And your primary care physician is that first line of defense for you. They can refer you to the right person. But a lot of times, because of the stigma that you're talking about and because of cultural things that we've gone through and habits that we formed over the years, we won't even tell our primary physician what's going on with us. Mm-hmm. So they can't make the referral. And all that is cloaked around that stigma word, mm-hmm. you know, and it's unfortunate, but I try to, you know, let people know. I know you're a former athlete. I played a little sports myself. And when you're talking about sports and mental health recently, a lot of the athletes have come forward and talked about what they're going through and how they're able to, you know, remain competitive and actually live their best life. So you have people like Lindsey Vonn, who was an Olympic skier, who came out and discussed openly about her situation. A lot of people forget, you know, Serena Williams, the best ever, whoever did it, you know, mm-hmm. took medication for depression, you know, Michael Phelps, Naomi Osaka, a lot of these people came out. So I try to get people to look at that list of great people that they know or read about or studied about or admire who have the same issues they have. So if it's okay for them to get help and live their best life, and we all aspire to be like them, you know, then we should reconsider getting the help that we need.
Yes. And, you know, a great example, the last Olympics when Simone Biles stepped out for a moment. Mm-hmm. Because she realized that her mind was not where it needed to be for her, not just to perform at her best, but to perform safely.
Exactly.
That was such an important moment for everybody, not even just for athletes, for everybody. And yes, athletes, because they're in the forefront, whether they intended to or are conscious of it or intentional of it, about it, they are serving as role models, and a lot of people are looking up to them and watching them, and not just young people, adults. Mm-hmm. So when she did that, I felt like it was so awesome, because it showed people that you can still be, and it doesn't take away at all from her being the GOAT with respect to gymnastics, mm-hmm. but she showed people that it's a part of being that to value yourself and recognize if something is not right, if something is not safe, take that time to take care of yourself. It doesn't mean that you're out forever. It doesn't mean that you can never do anything meaningful again. It just means right now you're recognizing this is where I am, this is the help I need, and you can do that. And anybody can recognize that for themselves. It's not going to be easy necessarily to take the time depending on your life situation. So I don't want to minimize that. You know, everybody can't just stop work, for example. But I do encourage people to look for the ways to make that time possible and the services that are available and the programs that are available to give yourself a breather when you can, because we're not machines and we're on this earth for a certain time. And if we want to make the most of that and make it a healthy time as long as possible, we have to take care of ourselves.
You know, and those people who we name, those athletes and other famous people that we may know that have come out and talked about their mental health conditions and how they're getting help for them, you know, I use those to inspire people, especially younger people. You know, I'll say something to them like, you know, what do you think about Beyonce and Mariah Carey, Kerry Washington? These women are living their best life at the top of their game, but they're also taking care of their mental health. But you said something earlier that I want to touch on in this last 5 minutes or so that we have. Those people have the means to get the help that they need, but so many people in our community don't. So how do we approach it, you know, and encourage people in our community who may not have the means or think they don't have the means to get the help? What do you say to the to our audience to get them to be more inspired about reaching out and finding help for themselves?
I would say that it's important to know the help and resources that are out there. A lot of people don't know what is actually out there, and they think of the cost of mental health, which is high, or can be high, I should say. The cost of the country is certainly high, and they think that's inaccessible to me. But there's programs at all levels. I might have people, for just to speak from my own personal practice, that might not be able to see me in my private practice because that might be out of reach. But I also work in clinics and contract with clinics that are community clinics that are exclusively for people who don't have means and are patients that only have Medi-Cal as their only coverage. There are a lot of clinics throughout L.A., for example, things like D.D. Hirsch that have multiple locations, and mental health urgent cares from different organizations. And in the Valley, there's the All of You Medical Center and the All of You Mental Health Urgent Care in Sylmar. These places, you don't have to have a dime to be able to get seen. I have worked there before. I have highly educated, esteemed colleagues that work in these places. And the point of being there is to serve the community. You don't even have to have an appointment in many of these places. And they have people to do therapy with you. They have people to do medication management with you. They have social workers that will work with you while you're there to help you to find, if you can't continue at this place, some of the locations are not meant to be long-term, they will keep taking care of you there until they're able to find a community center that can take care of you. So there's also places that train, do training. There's places, universities that train therapists and have people who are well-experienced that work with them to teach them. But to see those people, it's much less, sometimes free or in a sliding scale basis, because they want to help more people in the community, and you're also helping them to get better at what they're doing to help even more people. So there are options out there for help, and I hope people don't believe this is not for them, whether because they think it's out of reach, or sometimes our community people tell themselves, like, I don't need this. This is not what Black people do. Or, you know, I'll just pray about it and this will go away. And I'm a person of faith. Yes, please pray. But God has also sent those of us and helped us through our journey to get to where we are so that we can help you. So no one should have to go through this alone.
Exactly. And I, being in the ministry for a long time, I run into that a lot. You know, we do need to pray, but we do need to understand there's only one mind, one presence, and one God, and He is the greatest scientist of all. So he gave us these educations and these tools to use, and we need to take advantage of the blessing that are people like yourself who have become psychiatrists and medical professionals that can help us. And I also want to mention that, you know, even here locally in L.A., I have personally hand-walked people into the mental health facility at Martin Luther King Hospital. And it's amazing. It's a nice, clean facility, and they have great doctors and people there that can help you. So that's someplace else we can go. So we're having our conversation this morning with Dr. Charles Melveaux on the intersection of sports and mental health. And we invite you to join the conversation by calling 800-920-1580. That's 800-920-1580. While we have this special person of 2.8% of Black women physicians on the line and a Black psychiatrist nonetheless with us this morning. So we'll continue this conversation. We come forward here on KVLA Talk 1580.
A safe place to go loud.
A great place for progressive politics.
KVLA Talk 1580.
I'm Tyreek Wynn. Here's the latest on the Black Information Network. A civil rights icon is being honored by way of a new statue at the U.S. Capitol. The statue of late Arkansas native Daisy Gadsden Bates was unveiled Wednesday in the National Statuary Hall. The new statue is one of two that will eventually replace statues previously honor Arkansas lawmakers from the 19th century. The statue of singer-songwriter Johnny Cash will be installed later on this year. The Louisiana Supreme Court is poised to make a huge move ahead of the November election. There has been a fight over the way congressional boundaries are drawn. Civil rights groups are asking the high court to use a map that gives the state a second black majority district. A community reparations commission in Western North Carolina is making its first rounds of recommendations. A 25-member group designated to Asheville and Buckhome County is suggesting that local officials invest in four projects designed to support black communities. That's the latest. I'm Tyreek Wynn on your home for 24/7 News. The Black Information Network.
Hey, it's Dean Sharp. How does 3 months of free electricity and a lifetime of energy savings sound? Well, it's yours when you go solar with Sunlux. Learn more at sunlux.com, sunlux.com.
Follow the leader.
KBLA Talk 1580.
Follow the leader.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram at KBLA 1580.
Follow the leader.
Are you ready?
The station leading the way with exclusive interviews.
Follow the leader.
Stimulating conversation.
Leader.
And intellectual discourse that empowers, enlightens, and informs.
Follow the leader.
Follow the leader at KBLA 1580.
We've got a lot to talk about.
Keep following the leader.
Follow 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 the leader.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer whenever I want?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. 94% of Sleep Number smart sleepers report better sleep. And now save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed, plus free home delivery when you add an adjustable base. End Sunday. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
Hey, John, why so glum?
I just got let go. The company's downsizing. This is the third time in the last 2 years. I'm done with this.
Have you thought about My Computer Career? I've heard they can train you for a career in IT in just a few months, including cybersecurity and the basics of AI. And you don't need prior training or experience. Now that's a recession-resistant career.
Wow, thanks. I'll check them out.
Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. Mycomputercareer.edu.
Financial aid is available for qualified students, including the GI Bill.
Substance use disorder and addiction is so isolating. And so, as a black woman in recovery, hope must be loud. It grows louder when you ask for help and you're vulnerable. It is the thread that lets you know that no matter what happens, you will be okay.
When we learn the power of hope, recovery is possible. Find out how at startwithhope.com. Brought to you by the National Council for Mental Wellbeing, Shatterproof, and the Ad Council.
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk, too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
KBLA Talk 1580.
We've got a lot to talk about.
KBLA reminds you that when we fight, we win, and we don't black down. LA Community Action Network, or LA CAN, was formed in 1999 when 25 residents of downtown LA came together and acknowledged the problems that existed in their community and made a commitment to do something about those problems, to stand together, organize, and become a force in the community that demands change. Civil rights and preventing the criminalization of poverty are their core projects. In addition, they take on women's rights, the human right to housing, and healthy food access. LA CAN also has projects focused on economic development, civic participation, voter engagement, and community media. While downtown LA remains their home base, with a particular emphasis on the Skid Row community, in 2007, they expanded their housing and healthy food access work into South Central Los Angeles. LA Canned believes that power for low-income people and people of color is achieved through a large, active, and well-informed member base that utilizes a multitude of methods to advance their messages and goals. If you'd like to join the Los Angeles Community Action Network and organize people to fight back against oppression, please visit cangress.org. That's cangress.org. This is a community call to action from KBLA Talk 1580.
This is Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith.
Gerald Smith.
A spiritual and scientific evidence-based self-help program on KBLA Talk 1580.
Peace up, A-Town.
Yeah. Welcome back to Urban Family Focus. I'm Reverend Gerald, life coach and addiction counselor. And we're having a conversation with Dr. Charles Melveaux on the intersection of mental health and sports. And you can reach Dr. Melveaux on X, which I guess is now was known as Twitter, at intro at Dr. Willissa, W-I-L-S-A. And you can also reach her on Instagram and Facebook at WCM Sports Psych. That's WCM Sports Psych on Instagram and Facebook. So, Dr. Charles Melveaux, you know, one of the things I noticed when looking at your information is that you're very passionate about racial equities in medicine and have written some articles and some papers about those topics. So let's address that elephant in the room, if you will, and talk about how the stigma and fears and disbeliefs that a lot of us have in the community have roots in this racism that we've had to endure in this nation.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times when other people outside the community talk about our experience in medicine in the past, historically, there's a lot of stereotypes that are based in racial bias that are used to explain the disparities in our care. Fortunately, in recent years, there's been more studies that have gone out to show that even when you control for those things or account for those things, we still see those biases. Now, those of us who are Black physicians that have come through the roads that we have to come through to become physicians, we experience that in our training as well. So it's not a surprise. We see it. We have to endure a lot of that ourselves. But for the greater public and for people who are outside of our community and don't have the direct experience, you know, these studies are necessary. And we've heard about the Tuskegee experiments and how that caused people to lose lives. We've seen the movies about Henrietta Lacks and the HeLa cells that they talk about that are the basis for, I can't even quantify how much of the medical advancements that have taken place since her life that come from her cells, but her cells were used without her permission or knowledge. So the ways that our bodies have historically just been used and experimented on in some cases, you know, that's left us with a lot of fear in the community. So it's not surprising, and it's not just because of lack of access to care or lack of access to insurance that people have these experiences in medicine. You mentioned the experiences of Serena Williams, for example, in childbirth, and Allyson Felix, also another athlete, has been very vocal about her experiences in childbirth as a Black woman. And quite frankly, with the statistics in America, it's scary being a Black woman having children. I have three, and another time I'll share about with one of mine, my third, how that almost ended up costing me my life in delivery. But one experience that I think that could be more globally relatable, because you don't have to be a mother or a woman to experience this. Before one of my children, 2 days actually before his second birthday,
I was in excruciating and unusual pain. And at first,
Dr. Charles Bronco, your phone is breaking up just a little bit. You might want to change locations.
Sorry about that.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
We can hear you clearly now.
Okay, thank you. Because I felt like I can manage it, I tried to ignore it, but it quickly became obvious that this was something that needed attention. I, long story short, ended up in the emergency room, and this was during COVID, so I had to go in. My husband brought me, and I had to go in by myself. And I sat unattended in a wheelchair because I wasn't strong enough to get up and walk, and I saw people who looked very well going ahead for over an hour before anyone came to check on me. Now, being a physician, I knew what things could possibly be wrong, some of them. And I was concerned for my life at that point because the pain was unreal. I had to advocate strongly for myself just to get seen, to get initial tests done, to make sure I wasn't having a heart attack or something. When I was taken back eventually and needed pain medication, which helped, about the third time that it was needed, it was clear that they, even knowing that I was a physician, didn't believe me or didn't care. They thought, you know, this is just some Black person that's pain-seeking, medication-seeking, and they had clearly had conversations outside the room about what to do about the situation. Again, knowing I'm a physician, and actually my husband being a physician for the same medical center. Mm. When the nurse came in at the direction of one of the doctors trying to give me some over-the-counter, like anyone would have at home, indigestion medication, you know, at that point I was in so much pain, I was willing to just do whatever they said for the help. Now, what they didn't know is that at the same time, I was reaching out to all of my networks, trying to find someone who might be working at the hospital who could help me, because I didn't want to die on my kids. And as she was about to give me the medication, I think it was milk of magnesia or something, the doctor who was overseeing her came in and told her, nope, give her morphine. And the nurse looked at him in disbelief. And she's like, really? And he said, yes. And they had just gotten the CT scan results back, and another doctor rushed in and told me that I had to be rushed to surgery immediately because I had had acute cholecystitis, which is an acutely inflamed and enlarged gallbladder. It was full of gallstones, and people have gallstones all the time, but mm-hmm. the issue with mine was that the way that it was inflamed, they were really scared that it could rupture. If it bursts or ruptures, then you have all of this fluid going out into areas of your body that they shouldn't be, that can cause internal infections and could cause death. So they had to rush me to surgery. Now, that doctor asked, are you the physician that had somebody put a message on one of our physician networks and social media? And I was like, yes, that was me. She was like, you know, when I saw the information come through, I thought that this might be that case, given the symptoms that you were describing that you were having. So I was relieved that somebody there was able to get through and look out for me. But what about people who don't have that to do? What about people who don't feel comfortable enough or knowledgeable enough to speak up for themselves and insist that somebody come and help them now? And me being a professional, me being a physician, me being literally a part of the family of that medical center, because my husband worked in the system, but not at that location, it didn't change their perceptions of me as a Black woman in that space and could have cost me my life that day.
Yeah,
so I understand why our community is scared.
It's really unfortunate that you had that experience, but fortunate that you, being in the system, knew what to do as far as putting the word out there to get the attention that you need. And this happens a lot, you know, mm-hmm. and it's going to continue to happen until we move forward as a society and open our minds up and realize that we all, you know, need to be treated equally. But I don't want that to be, and you being a psychiatrist, how do you keep those types of situations from being a hindrance in the community for people seeking help? Because, you know, yes. if we don't go to the hospital because we think we're going to get mistreated, you know, the the consequences may be worse. So what do you say to people, even though we know that we got a battle to fight or may have a battle to fight, how do we advocate for ourselves? What questions do we or statements do we make to get them to see that, you know, we know a little bit about what's going on and what we need to get help?
So one thing that I will say is that not all doctors are like that. So it's very important for people to know that not all doctors are like that. And I'm not saying that facetiously, like it's a reality. Will you encounter people like that? That's quite likely. But even when there are people like that, we take an oath and we're professionals, and there's a certain basic level of knowledge that we have to recognize things universally that usually should result in them figuring out what's happening and offering help that you need. Staying at home, you're not going to get that help at all. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, again, the advocacy. We have to feel empowered to speak up for ourselves. You don't have to have the knowledge that I have to say something is wrong. I need somebody to take care of me. Something is wrong. This is what I'm experiencing. I need somebody to look at this for me. And if you have a doctor that's, let's say, if it's your primary care that you don't feel comfortable with asking those questions, or you're dismissed when you're asking those questions, you have the power to request somebody else. Healthcare has, I think, unfortunately become a business. You can take your business somewhere else, because it's very important that you have a doctor to talk to that you feel comfortable speaking with, that you feel hears you and listens to you and answers your questions. Find out how do you get those questions when you're not in an appointment. Do I call? Is there a patient portal? Can I send emails? Don't be afraid. Some doctors may get upset if I say this, but yes, you can look things up on the internet, but please understand that's just for the purpose of creating your questions to ask your doctor, which if you prepare them ahead of time will help to get them answered much better and let your doctor know that you have questions ahead of time. That is not information to use to treat yourself, because there's nothing controlling who's putting that out there on the internet. So if you have false information, that would be something that you would want to know, so that you can get your trusted healthcare provider to help you get the treatment you need and steer you in the right direction. So in keeping informed, not being afraid to speak up for yourself and advocating for yourself, if that means you have to take someone with you with your appointments that you trust just to have that support to be able to speak up, do that. And preparing those questions ahead of time, that can make a lot of difference.
Absolutely. And we're going to continue on along these lines, because I know you wrote a couple of papers that relate to this subject. One of them was If Looks Could Kill. And I want you to comment a little bit about the content of that paper when we come forward here on KBLA Talk 1580.
Healthy lives, healthy home, and a healthy community. More of Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith when we come forward on KBLA Talk 1580.
Fight climate change. This Earth Day, April 22nd, go Metro and ride for free. You'll make a difference. Metro buses run on clean energy, making every day Earth Day. Together, we can clear the air and connect our communities. Start your journey at metro.net.
Girl, I have a secret. When I get stressed out, I get sweaty. That's why I use Secret Clinical Antiperspirant. It's like my own secret weapon. For 72 hours, I get Secret's strongest protection against sweat caused by stress, heat, and activity, because you know how crazy life can get. Plus, it's made with advanced odor fighters that don't just cover up smelliness. They help prevent it from happening in the first place. Believe me, if I weren't wearing Secret, I'd be a hot, smelly mess. Thankfully, Secret works.
Ooh, I'm so ready for this weekend away with my girls.
Hey, hit the road. How about some free gas?
Free gas? How?
Try new Febreze car for some serious freshness, and you can win gas for a full year. Visit Febreze.com to learn more.
Say less.
You may not win, but you're going to have a fresh-smelling whip.
Thanks, DJ Fresh. Now, how about some music?
Hey, yo, this next one goes out to new Febreze car for giving you a chance to win free gas.
La, 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 la.
No purchase necessary. Must be 18 to enter in 731-24 for rules and how to enter. Visit Febreze.com.
This is KBLA Talk 1580, home of the 2024 Climate Justice Campaign.
KBLA Talk 1580.
We've got a lot to talk about.
KBLA
KBLA Talk 1580, connecting you with services and solutions. Single Moms Planet is a nonprofit organization dedicated to uplifting under-resourced single mom business owners and working mothers nationwide. Single Moms Planet offers comprehensive programs of financial literacy, business development, mentorship, and entrepreneurial training. They provide education, accountability, and hope. Single Moms Planet was founded by model, TV personality, and producer Nefertiti Plessy. Nefertiti felt firsthand the challenges that face single moms as she was raised by a working single mother. She learned that the most disadvantaged group in the United States are single mom families. According to the U.S. Census, 30% live under the poverty line. So she decided to do something about it, along with co-founder Cole Patterson. Their goal is to end the poverty cycle in single mother households through education, opportunity, and networking, providing family and child enrichment programs for under-resourced single parent families. Single Moms Planet serves over 10,000 single moms and their children each year. Studies show that business development and financial literacy provide a positive environment for children and families, exposing them to new possibilities and opportunities. To attend one of their fun events, make a donation, or get more information, or if you need help as a single mom, please visit singlemomsplanet.org. That's singlemomsplanet.org. This is a community call to action from KBLA Talk 1580.
We knew you'd stick around. This is LA's home for progressive talk radio.
Be heard.
Welcome back to KBLA Talk 1580.
People moving in, why? Because of the color of the skin.
Welcome back to Urban Family Focus. I'm Reverend Gerald, life coach and addiction counselor, and we're having a conversation with Dr. Charles Melveau, who is one of the few black female psychiatrists. Only 2.8% of the medical profession are black females, and she is one of them, and that's a unique position to be in, and she takes that responsibility seriously. And in her seriousness, she looks not just at how much she can help people and how she can get people the help that they need. She also looks at some of the things that need to be adjusted, corrected, or improved in the healthcare industry. And I learned a word from you, misogynoir. Is that correct? Misogynoir,
yes,
in sports. Misogynoir in sports. My French is not that good. But it refers to an article that you wrote called If Looks Could Kill. Talk a little bit about that.
So there is a professor, Moya Bailey. And Dr. Bailey, I believe, is at Northeastern University. But she is the person that coined that term.
Mm-hmm.
And this is describing the specific intersection of the racism and sexism that black women experience. So the bias based on race and on gender experienced by black women. And it's a unique experience. It's not the same as gender-based bias and discrimination that people who are not of the diaspora experience. And it's not the same experience of racism that other black individuals that aren't women experience. In my article, I talk about how it affects women in sports, because a lot of times we don't think about that. A lot of people talk about sports as the great equalizer and as if everything is fair, but that's just not how it works. Examples going back, when we think about the ways that Serena and Venus Williams were portrayed in their career, and I truly love how their mother was intentional about how she dressed them and how she did their hair to keep them tied to their pride in themselves and their culture, because she knew what they would face being in a sport where they wouldn't see other people like them.
Mm-hmm.
And what that would look like and what that could do to a child, because they were children when they started, that did not have that foundation to be proud of themselves, and the way that they were talked about as if they were without feelings when they were young, as if they weren't children, mm-hmm. how they were talked about because of their physical features as if they were masculine instead of being the beautiful women that they are, and how that affected how other people interacted with them in their career, whether it be at press conferences or the people who are actually refereeing their matches. when we look at other athletes, there's several in the article I talk about, swimmers, gymnasts, who talk about how the sports really just, they weren't built with them in mind, and how they felt they stood out because of how they looked, but also how they were discriminated against. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't just affect them in terms of their mental health. And it could affect someone in terms of how they see themselves, but also just in terms of practical senses, abilities to make money and to build that lifestyle, the comfort for themselves, but also generational wealth for their family. When we look at things like deals like the NIL, name, image, and likeness deals that are happening now, and we look at the WNBA draft that just took place and all the conversations online about Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese. Not that it should ever be versus, because pitting women against each other in the first place is part of the problem. But for Black women, you know, you're not looked at the same way to be given the same deals that people who don't look the way that people expect people to look or want people to look from a European standpoint. There was an article that looked at People's Magazine, Most Beautiful People, and they found that people almost universally, of course, is biased by who reads People Magazine, but of their readers, what they found to be beautiful was people who are of lighter skin tone with dark hair. And that colorism, that plays a role in our community too. So it really is important to look at how these things play a role, even for people who are not athletes. When you look at misogyny war in the workplace, there might be multiple of us in a workplace, but are the Black people in the workplace, the Black women in the workplace, being treated the same? Is the Black woman who has more what would be considered more African features as opposed to more European type features, smaller features, thinner features, or the person who's of lighter skin tone versus the person of darker skin tone? How are they perceived? How are they allowed to move? And if they have a legitimate reason to be upset, how is that perceived? Are they seen as the trope of the angry Black woman, or are they seen as a human who's allowed to have that emotion? And that's really why that's important, because when we reduce people to these tropes, they're no longer human, and then people can treat them however they want. And that's when our lives become endangered.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, these things have persisted, I should say, for quite a long time. But in spite of that persistence, if you notice in tennis and gymnastics and a lot of those sports where we were said not to belong, most of the top gymnasts I see now are African-American women. So, we only
making
have
our way anyway.
Exactly, exactly. As we've always done. We only have a couple of minutes left, Dr. Charles Melveaux. And I want to repeat again, or have you repeat, how people can find you, because I know that you have a lot more information and resources that you're willing to share with our community.
Absolutely. First of all, to find me again on X, formerly known as Twitter, you can look for at Dr. Wilsa, that's WILSA. On Instagram and Facebook, it's at WCMSportsPsych.com. That's WCMSPORTSPSYCH. And I said .com, but that's the website. So just at WCMSportsPsych. But my website is www.wcmsportspsych.com. And those are the best ways to reach out. If you're reaching out professionally, LinkedIn, you can just search by my name, Dr. Wilsa Charles Melveaux. And I post a lot of things there. Those are the best ways to get in touch.
Thank you so much for being with us today. It's been a pleasure to have you, and I'm glad that we have somebody in your profession that is not just good at what they do, but conscious as well in helping our community. I want to wish you a happy Mother's Day, and all the mothers out there a happy Mother's Day. One of the quotes that I like about mothers is, a mother's sacrifice is not just in what she gives up, but also in what she silently endures for her children. And Stevie Wonder said something about his mom that I equate to my mom. He said, "Mama was my greatest teacher, a teacher of compassion, love, and fearlessness. If love is as sweet as a flower, then my mother is that flower of love." Thank you for joining us today on Urban Family Focus. Again, happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. Black Lives Matter is next.
Well, the only person talking about love, man, brother, is the preacher. And it seems nobody's interested in learning but the teacher.